This week on The Nervous Record.
Phone rings.
It's Michael Jordan.
It's not Michael Jordan. Phone rings and it's...
Scottie Pippen.
It's not Scottie Pippen. It's...
Gnarls Barkley.
I'm Amanda Sox and you're listening to The Nervous Record, where each week I talk to the girl from my high school that was institutionalized about how she's doing 15 years later.
Bought any dark stuff lately?
Have you?
Oh, God. I mean, yes and no. Because mm-hmm. I've been stressing about the podcast. Mm-hmm. I have dreams about it a lot. I called my friend Jamie podcast. I called him that.
Wait, you too? Yeah. Called him podcast?
I called him podcast. It's been a little while, has it not? No, it hasn't
been.
We
skipped last week because we were having nervous breakdowns.
What was happening in your nervous breakdown?
Solar flares, I think. Have you heard about this?
What?
Very reputable source, the internet. It was talking about, like, massive solar storms and flares. Can affect people's anxiety.
You were canceled recording last week because of solar flares?
No.
Okay.
I wish. That's a very Leah thing to do.
Oh my God. I was like, this is...
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, my early test audience says that we laugh too much. So I got Anna that book that you recommended,
the Rebel Girls,
for her birthday.
Explain Rebel Girls to people. Yes. It's like you have a page of a short autobiography, essentially, of all these females who...
Made waves
in some way, like in their field.
Well, I had never heard of it until you talked about it.
Right.
I think my sister and my brother-in-law see me as maybe a little bit of a pot stirrer sometimes, just with my general... liberal countenance. Mm-hmm. I get a text message this week from my sister, and it says in a very furtive text speak, Did you read Anna the story about the transgendered woman?
I believe gender is the right way to say that.
Really? Transgender? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, I was telling a story in the past tense.
Oh. Is that how that works?
Oh my God, that works. Okay. So I get this text from my sister and it says, did you read Anna the story in the Rebel Girl book about the transgender girl? Well, no, I didn't, first of all. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely mystifying to me to get this text message because my niece is 4. Mm-hmm. Where the hell would she, how would this question even be raised? You mm-hmm. know, in what scenario? And I was like, no, did you? Like Maggie was just trying to start a discourse. And she said, tonight, Anna told Pat, quote, will you read me the one about a boy that turns into a girl? To which I said, I don't even know what story that is. Jenner? Is it Caitlyn? Caitlyn Jenner? Maybe
no, it's not Caitlyn.
It's not Caitlyn Jenner?
It's literally like a little kid.
Oh, yeah. Caitlyn Jenner's not really a transgender girl. She's not a girl, exactly. Not yet a woman.
I'm not a girl. Not yet
You know what? Caitlyn Jenner's a goddamn American hero is what...
Amen.
...is what she is. She said she was just curious. But, I mean, I was curious then, too, because I'm like, I didn't read it. How would she have come up with this? And I went down and I told my mom and dad, like, oh, my gosh. I got the weirdest text message from Maggie. You know, told them about it. And Donnelly's standing there in the kitchen, and she's just holding her wine glass. And she laughed, and she said, I read her the story. She said she didn't realize what was happening in the story until it was already too late. Well, and then my mom said, you know, I tried to turn it into like a magic thing, because then Anna was asking, like, how does a boy turn into a girl? Mm-hmm. And I didn't, and she tried to make it into like a magic thing. So of course that's going to pique Anna's interest if she's got to read about friggin' magic. Marie Curie or magic stuff. Mm-hmm. She's going to pick magic stuff. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. I see those stories. One, Cordelia just doesn't ask any questions, mm-hmm. usually.
Well, that's good. I mean, does she know about divorce? Because I'm happy to step in and,
I've got that speech down.
Yeah, I've got that speech. That speech down. So,
I'll tell her that when she talks more about marrying princes, because I've married a prince so many times in the past 2 days. It's exhausting. All we do is dance. We dance and kiss while we dance. And then we go watch a movie. That's apparently what happens when princesses marry princes, in her mind.
So, in my mind, mm-hmm. when I was a kid, I was telling Nate, actually, I was having dinner this evening, and this came up. We were talking about how Anna, some people are saying that Anna, they think, is a little bit like me. Mm-hmm. She's got some qualities that are a little Leah-like. Last time I went to visit her, I found her in her room at one point, in the corner, in the dark, hugging her knees. And when I went up to her, I said, "What's going on?" She said, "Nobody's paying me any attention." And she seemed like she was so sad, mm-hmm. which feels like a little bit baloney. She's super spoiled with attention.
That's also a four-year-old thing.
But she loves dark. She loves the darkness. She loves books. She doesn't love athletics. Mm-hmm. She's like weird. So Nate asked me a question. Do you remember a time when you weren't weird? This was a serious question. He wanted to know if I could reach back in the archives of my brain to think about, you know, Leah before the one that started making up all the stories and stuff like that. Looking for some kind of catalytic event.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is he looking for?
And I don't think it was like a loaded question, but he was just interested to know.
He's running around for something.
Well, we're just looking at Anna, and we're seeing like a natural, you know, kind of her taking a natural course, but I'm not there enough to really be influencing her personality. And I was thinking about it, and I just really don't remember. And I'm sure that there was a time, but I just don't remember it. And it was funny because then I get a little bit wistful for like Leah, like young weird Leah, mm-hmm. when I didn't realize that like lying is a terrible thing and it can hurt people, mm-hmm. and you know, those kind of things. Even though a lot of the lies that I told were super harmless. Mm-hmm. Like last night, we're watching the basketball. The one time that I had the offer to go to a basketball game was to see the Chicago Cubs. Nope. Was to see the Chicago Bulls.
I was gonna say, don't take that offer. It's not real. I'm just in an empty parking lot.
So my mom worked with a guy, and I think his like other part-time job was he was like a ball boy or like a locker room human or something at the arena, but something for the Bulls.
But probably a locker room human.
Probably a locker room human for the Bulls. So occasionally I guess he got like leftover tickets or something like that. Leftover tickets from the players.
Like, what do you think a locker room human would do? I imagine them just like walking around going, "Hey-o, up top," giving high fives.
This locker room human just is in there just trying to facilitate locker room talk.
Yeah, exactly. They're like
The fluffer.
What's the guy's name? No, not the fluffer.
And so he would get tickets, but like not like nosebleed tickets. He'd get tickets left over from the players.
What?
Yeah, they'd be like, "Oh, my, you know, Giselle guy. And the kids Bunchin? Didn't want to go." Giselle's not the wife of a basketball player in the Bulls, but whatever the model was at the time. You know, can't make it tonight, so here you go if you want these. And they're like courtside seats.
Yeah.
Now, this is like the golden age of the Chicago Bulls. This is Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Steve Kerr, Phil Jackson coaching. I mean, just like epic.
For originally calling it the Chicago Cubs, you knew a lot of players.
Yeah, because this was a big deal team. This Good was job. A big deal team.
Great.
Last night when I was telling Nate this, I did name Charles Barkley, who was not one of the Chicago Bulls. But they did play Charles Barkley. I remember him being at one of these games on TV.
I would have accidentally said, no, Charles Barkley.
We get this call one night, kind of stormy outside, and phone rings.
It's Michael Jordan.
It's not Michael Jordan. Phone rings, and it's...
Scottie Pippen.
It's not Scottie Pippen. It's...
Gnarls Barkley.
It's the locker room human. I think his name was Brian or Kevin or something like that.
But that sounds right.
The guy, you know, my mom must have put a word in at some point saying, like, we would love to go to a game. So he was like, I have tickets for tonight's game. Like, do you want to bring the girls and come? And Donna Lee said, tonight's not a good night. We just have homework and the weather's not nice outside. She decided that it was not a good night to go. Immediately when she hangs up a phone, realizes that she had made a grave mistake. Because this is not just an opportunity that comes around. Yeah. And so, like, is trying to call back the person? Arena? Yeah. No, this is before cell phones.
Oh, no.
You know, remember that
life? Did she have a beeper number?
No. Like, she's trying to call the number of the arena, you know, to the box office. Yeah. There's no way in hell that she's getting him back on the phone, and we give up, and Maggie and I are really sad about it. When I retold this story in subsequent years, different ending. When I retold the story, not only did we go, but Michael Jordan asked me personally
to prom. To be his locker room human.
Well, he asked me if I wouldn't mind running across the street to the store to get him some watermelon Bubblicious.
Oh, I don't remember. Bubble gum. But it was so good.
It wasn't the strip. It wasn't the tape.
No.
It wasn't the tape. Like, it was the cubes.
Oh,
yeah.
So what,
watermelon cubes of gum. He came up to me. He asked me to do it. And
Wait, this is real or a lie?
Lie. I have no interaction with Michael Jordan.
Damn it.
I left and very promptly exited the
arena. How old were you?
Arena. I mean, this was when we were in Chicago, so this was fifth grade or earlier.
Yeah, so, like, leave that arena by yourself to go to the store.
You know what? I was very mature, clearly.
Yeah. Closest bodega.
Get
you that gum.
Yep. But I was, you know, it was very specific. Watermelon. That's the only kind that he will chew during a game.
During a game? Does anybody chew gum during a basketball game?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, he did. So, yeah, that's how I retold that story to people. And it's when I tell Nate these stories, like, he's just kind of like dipping his toe in. He hasn't been around this for long enough to know, like, it seems like anything's possible for what fifth grade Leah would say.
Wait, did you tell him the lie version?
No, I told him the real version, and then I said, but here's how I...
Okay.
Michael Jordan, if you're out there... I have had for 20 years some Bubblicious waiting for you.
Oh, gross.
I wonder if they even make that anymore.
I love watermelon Jolly Ranchers. I don't like all watermelon flavored things, but I love that watermelon flavored thing.
Okay.
What? So I'm not allowed to talk about candy now? Wow.
Anyways, Nate's just still, it's a little bit unbelievable to him, the stories, because he's not
used. He's like, how could you do that?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And so that kind of prompted the, was there a time you weren't weird? But it reminded me, you were telling me about playing princes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Princes and princesses. I used to write a play that I would have me, Jen, Garrett, Chelsea, and my sister and I would do a play on our back deck. This is real.
Okay, go for it.
I would write a play and we would do it. And you know what the plot of the play was? Every time. All of the girls wanted Garrett. But he picked Leah.
Oh!
And then they went to get a sausage pizza.
Delicious.
I even call in the order. That's in the script.
That's in the script.
In the script, I call in the order and fake order a sausage pizza.
So I used to do plays. I wrote a play when I was in third grade about a kid trying to get their mom to stop smoking. My mom does not smoke. I don't know where this came from. It was very dramatic.
Just trying to spice things up.
Yeah.
So, like, I was interested in... I started being interested in singing in the choir at school in eighth grade. And we were doing a concert, a choir concert, at the school. And the theme was Broadway musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And I auditioned, and I got a solo. And I was going to sing on my own. Well, that's a loose interpretation.
I don't really know the difference between all the songs and like this. Pretending you're beside me.
I go out. You know, I'm still super nervous because it's like, you know, the choir concert. And so all the parents are there.
Gross.
It's in a gym.
Which, terrible with risers. Acoustics.
Yeah, terrible acoustics. So that's why they had me going to sing into a microphone.
Yeah.
Didn't even, it wasn't like an auditorium with a stage. It was just a gym with kids standing on risers. And so I walked out for my solo, piano's playing, and I get to the microphone and I start singing my song, and the microphone wasn't turned on.
I'm sorry, what?
The microphone was off.
Who was in charge?
I sang on my own. On my own. Uh-huh. Yeah, so that was really embarrassing. There was one other time that I had to really use my imagination on some singing.
Did you forget words?
Not quite. It's okay. More, it's definitely more spicy than that.
Ooh, you forgot clothes?
Cousin, I have to sing at all of the weddings and the funerals, in the, not ever.
Oh God, that's
not
sucks.
Like state ones, but yeah. In the family, yeah. A lot of times they ask me to do that, and so my cousin asked me to sing at their wedding. They asked me to sing "Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming" as the song at their wedding, and it's a Christmas carol. A lot of people know, and it's in the hymnal. So the day before the wedding. This is going to seem like such hyperbolic narrative, but I swear to God, you can call Donnelly and ask her that every word of this is true.
Right.
The day before the wedding, he came and asked me if I would sing a verse in German.
So just, they're not German.
Mm-mm.
They like the sound.
I guess. And I said, well, sure. I just need the words. I can read the German. I just don't have the German memorized.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, that's fine. So we went, we had a rehearsal, everything went solid. How it was going to be was the accompaniment would start and I would walk up the steps and land in place just in time to start singing and join the music. Plan is great.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to take photographs before the actual service and the photographer moved my music and didn't say anything to anybody.
And so, obviously did not move it back to
no,
where it was.
Okay. No. So the music starts and I walk up to my place and there's just nothing there. And I'm supposed to start singing. Mm-hmm. Now at this time, when I didn't seem like I was suffering from early onset dementia, I remembered the words in English. I had been practicing them.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to the repeat and I'm supposed to do it in German and I just don't know what to do. And so I started singing the German words that I knew.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, I knew some German words because in voice class, we had been studying some German vocal literature.
Oh, okay.
So the one that I knew that I could just rattle off the words on the spot, and this was my reflex, was called Der Tod und das Mädchen, which is Death and the Maiden.
That doesn't sound as positive.
And I think the English translation, so it's like, it's like, leave me alone, you filthy man of bone. Like it is. But it came out, like I was trying so hard to make it sound like.
Did you my mom say blue?
I mean, my mom registered that there was something wrong. The song's about a woman, death's coming to a woman, and she's saying, leave me alone.
And but so nobody said anything to you afterwards?
Nobody said anything to me afterwards.
But also, like, can you imagine?
What would they have said?
Yeah, like, the character that would come up to you and be like, I know what you sang up there. I see you. You disgust me. And, like, throws a drink in your face.
Like, a diva is there. For some reason, yeah. A diva is there. Dionne Warwick is there.
Uh-huh. Does she also
it's just
know
the VH1
German?
Divas that are there.
Yeah, just the VH1. Divas
are there.
I think Mariah Carey would be fine with it.
Mm-hmm. She probably let it slide, but I think Dionne is, she really cuts to the
tough nuts. Dionne.
Tough nuts Dionne. Old tough nuts Dionne, as they know her in the industry.
Did you dream as a little kid about having a wedding, like about getting married?
I dream about birthday cake and pizza.
I said dreamt, like as a little kid.
I dreamt about birthday cake and pizza.
I remember talking, like, what age are you going to get married? Oh, I'm going to get married at 24. What age are you going to get married at? Oh, I'm going to get married at age 21.
Right? This is your in your dreams as a kid, no, or this is at like college?
No, like playing Barbies with friends when I was a kid.
What did you do when you played Barbies as a kid? I guess that. When you talked to me about you and Cordelia playing Barbies, like, what does that mean?
I mean, with her, it's just like, oh, now the mom goes to work, and it's usually somebody's a disruption. This is the bad sister, and the sister does not want to clean up, or, like, this is the bad sister, and she just always says no to the mom, and she usually just has some sort of, like, dissension role playing. And usually whatever
dissension role play with Barbie. With my Barbies, I sat and listened to Annie Lennox.
That's not surprising. It's not. I told Cordelia that she was gonna have to pick up a hobby. Well, she had the similar experience of Anna, like, nobody's paying attention to me. So I told her the other day when she's like sobbing, this is not the time to have the Danny Tanner talk, but that's when I was having it. I was like, listen, I get it. Sometimes you feel lonely. Like, I felt lonely too, especially as a kid. And I know you don't have another kid around to play with, and that mom and dad can be kind of lame and boring sometimes because they have to work. We have to work. And I was like, but you know what I found as a kid that was really helpful? Was reading books, making crafts. You could, you know, you like to write songs. You can write songs. You can learn how to play an instrument. Like, there's a lot of stuff coming that's going to take a little bit of practice at to be able to do, like reading or playing an instrument. But I promise it's going to get better. So I'd have that conversation.
Yeah, it gets better campaign.
Yeah, but like with loneliness and hobbies.
When this gets edited,
uh-huh.
The Full House music is going to be playing under that whole thing.
Good.
For sure.
Great.
And everything that I've said tonight, Annie Lennox will be playing underneath that.
No laughter, Leah. We're not supposed to laugh.
I'm sorry.
Next time on The Nervous Record.
This girl at the gas station asks me if I'm pregnant, and I said, no. And she said, oh, because you don't look it. That was her comeback. She was like, just the way that you had your, you were just kind of patting your belly.
Patting your belly like, yum, candy.
Follow
us on Instagram at The Nervous Record and check out pictures of us podcasting or stuff that makes us anxious or stuff that makes us feel sane in a crazy world. Go ahead and check us out. That's Instagram at The Nervous Record. Thanks.